where we also do not take advantage of a person's love for you. You don't become a leech. Leeches don't love, they last. I'm sad to say there are Christian leeches too. And they are so clever that when they suck your blood, they put anesthetic and you don't know. Professional leech. It's not until some time later that they feel something, then found that there was a leech there. So this is true love, where we know a lot of people who love us to that extent, but yet because we love them, we also don't take advantage. Now if everybody is like that, what a wonderful world it will be. And so we praise God that here is Paul, and in the second section on his relationship, as he built that relationship with the people, he began to touch on finances, which is the testing area. So the third area, if you develop a relationship, there will be, and it will touch the financial area. It will definitely touch the area. As it touched Paul's life, and what happened? Paul became a partner with them in whatever they did. And he encouraged them in the ministry, not for his own use. You see, he was not a leech. But for the ministry to the poor and to the saints. How important that is. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, says here in verse 22, "And we have sent with them our brother whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ." So these are all people partaking it. And verse 20, "Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by," look at the word, "us." So they had what I call a partnership where it touches on Paul's life and it touches on their life. How did Paul respond to them? Paul, from his side, in a cross-reference, if you look at chapter 11, verse 8, "I rob other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you." Verse 10, verse 9, "When I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what was lacking to me, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself." Now, when you have a two-way love relationship, that's tremendous. Because love don't want to burden yourself on somebody. Love want to help the other person lift up the burden. So when Paul had that heart for them, and when they had that heart for Paul, and everybody had that heart, what a wonderful relationship it becomes. And a lot of people, they can relate together in many areas, but when it comes to money, that's when things get rough. Even within the churches, people fight over money. And usually when people want to fight over money, I say, what's the point of fighting over it? I mean, there's nothing to gain. And sometimes when a church split, you know what the next fight is over? Property. It's the love of mammon coming in. Property. Finances. Who use what? No, that organ belongs to me. No, this organ belongs to me. Pull the organ apart. Then both cannot use. So, and then even a lot of Christians relate to one another. I mean, they sing, "We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord." But then when it comes to the brass tacks where the rubber hits the road, when it comes to dealing with money, it's a different song. Not the same song anymore. No more I love you with the love of the Lord, you know. It's a different song. So I can't sing that song because it's not a Christian song. But it's definitely a different song. And we've seen too many of that. And we need to understand that unless love touch our pockets, there's not true love coming out from our life. And sometimes in the ministry, you see and you feel sad because people who have the money who don't want to help, and people who have lesser money are the ones who help. One year tonight, I've been in the ministry for since 1976, and many of the great projects of God are not done by just one millionaire or two. They're done by the common people who give the most, more sometimes than the people who have the ability to give more than them. The vast majority, which is why sometimes you meet extreme groups. You meet some ministers who are new to the things of the ministry, and they are in a project, and you know what they are praying for? They are praying for millionaires to walk out and give, sign everything up for them. I think they are praying the wrong prayer. Because if such a person come and they are not ordained of God, that person will take control and he's finished. Because that kind of person sometimes don't give with a real heart of giving. I mean, when I give, you know, it's still mine, in that sense. So, that's not the right heart. And I'm amazed, in the ministry since 1976, and I've seen people with lesser income giving more than people with greater income. And you wonder how they did it. And then on the other side, you wonder why the other side couldn't manage this side. And it amazes you. It just amazes you. But one day in heaven, when all the roll book is called out, then there will be many surprises. Many surprises. I'm sure there will be some surprises. That and because how generous we are on this earth determines our heavenly mansion. So you could live down here in a huge, big mansion and go up there and found that you got enough material just to build a flat. And you could be living here in an apartment, and because of your great generosity, you go out and you found your mansion in heaven. And that's only a figurative thing, alright? In heaven there's no flat, I think. Right? There may be some place there, just a sample, or some children's paradise or what. But it's amazing that relationships and the depth of them are built on how people work out finances and money. And Paul became close to the Corinthians, and whenever we go close to people, we draw a line on those areas so that love doesn't take advantage. And love knows when not to make use of people. Some people like the opposite side of love. It's applied for others but not for them. No, the Bible says everything belongs to the Lord, and your house belongs to the Lord, and so I can just stay there. And but they never apply to themselves. It's the other way. And so it's a wrong concept. But chapter 9 is where the blessings begin to come in the relationship. In chapter 9, verse 2, says, "For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority." Your zeal has stirred up the majority. Then he's so much confident of what they can do, then the potential that they can move into, and then he began to pronounce the blessing of God on their lives. And he ends this chapter with what will happen with all their generosity and supply. First of all, he says here, in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, has given to the poor, His righteousness remains forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bring forth fruit supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So the person who is sowing and the person who flows along with that kind of give and take situation is also blessed. But those receiving in verse 12 for the administration of this service not only supplies for the needs of all the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. Isn't that powerful? That when you really move into the area, people are touched by God and they begin to bring forward thanksgiving to the Lord. It's a tremendous area unto God. Now we go to chapter 10 to 13. Paul began to speak about the gift and office that he has in his life. For him, it was a ministry of an apostle especially. And when we receive an office, we receive an area to minister in. And here Paul begins in chapter 10, verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you, he told the Corinthians. Then in verse 8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. When Paul began to talk about his apostolic office, and for each one of us, the principle applied that when you have a gifting of God, that gifting, with that gifting, with that anointing comes, number one, a sphere of influence and authority. And we have to recognize that you have authority in certain areas. Now it's a totally different area from the second about relationship. Now when you talk about the gift, there's an area of authority. And authority needs to be exercised. If it's not exercised, the gift will not work. And it has to be recognized, and you have to be bold about your authority. Like Paul now, he's beginning to exercise his authority. Not for destruction, but in love. See, when you have a relationship built, a relationship of trust and give and take, and when the giftings are recognized, and you begin to exercise your authority in your gifting, it becomes easier to flow. But there is an area of exercise. It's just like when Catherine Kuhlman ministers in the office of an evangelist, she could have a whole platform of ministers sitting behind her. But when it is her meeting, it is her meeting. And she will not allow anything to go on that affects her gift from functioning. So sometimes, her style and the peculiarities of her anointing, she would say, quiet. And she would demand silence and quietness. And so, in her biography, in one of her meetings, there was a huge crusade, and there was a lot of men of God behind her, mighty men of God, and many Pentecostal pastors and ministers all sitting on a platform with her. And she was about to move into the gift of the Spirit, and she demanded complete silence. That was her style that she operated. And near the corner was a Pentecostal pastor, and he was just praying very, very softly. Not many can hear, but she could hear it softly in tongues. Because it was her meeting, she said, I said silence. Even the big pastor also quiet. See, she exercised authority in her meeting. Now, if she came out of her meeting and went into that pastor's church, it's different. He becomes in the sphere of authority. So, in the gift of God, we need to understand